Hallelujah. It's a great privilege this morning to be with you and just to have so many of you guys here as well coming to visit us. And what an amazing morning we've already had. The presence of the Lord, amen, wasn't that incredible? Just the testimonies of what the Lord is doing and the lives that He's changing. And Lily said that she was thinking, oh my word, what did I do by saying yes to minister? I very often feel that way as well. So you stand in the presence of the Lord and you know this is God's house and God's people. And it's such a privilege to be able to minister the word of God. And she's quite privileged. I think the Lord gave her a word on Wednesday for Sunday. I sometimes get a word much later. And you never really get used to it, because there's something about just the holiness of moments like this. There's something about standing in the presence of the Lord and standing with people who have an expectation for God and for the Word of God that humbles one. At the same time, there's something so incredibly relaxing in it, because we know that we can't change anyone. We don't have the power, we don't have the eloquence, we don't have the words, the charisma to change anybody's life. At best, we can leave somebody stimulated and maybe encouraged for a little while, and then all those words fade away, and what remains is what God decides to deposit into our hearts. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is your word that brings life, and your word only. Thank you that the Spirit is already moving in our midst. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have prepared every heart. And thank you that you will have your way here this morning in our midst, God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We declare our dependency upon you. We say thank you for not leaving us to try and figure life out. But that you have come as the great counselor. As the one who comes next to us, close to us, to help us. In the name of Jesus. We sang that song, Turn Your Eyes Towards Jesus. And I didn't know that the song was going to be in the set list. But what I want to speak to us this morning is exactly that, and that is taking another look. Somebody shared with us that she just feels in her heart that we need to stop a little bit and we need to think about what it is that the Lord is busy doing in our lives. What it is that He's busy just stirring and planting and challenging in our lives. And earlier in the year, we spoke about driving like maniacs. We spoke about having the purpose that God gives us, being determined about that purpose and putting pedal to the metal, so to speak, and moving, being focused on this is what God has for me. I'm not going to settle for anything less. I'm going to go for God's best. I'm not going to settle for mediocre life. I'm not going to settle for anything substandard, not according to human standards, but according to God's standards. The standard of love and hope that He has set before me, the standard of fulfillment, the standard of knowing God's voice, the standard of living free from fear. That is what God has for me. That's what He promises me. And why settle for anything less than that? But there's a determination that we spoke about that we need to have stirred in our hearts. It's almost like an aggression. It's almost like a provocation that sometimes takes place in your spirit. But you've got to wake up and realize you're sitting amongst the pigs, like the prodigal son. You've got to realize I haven't been created to live with the pigs. I've been created to live in my daddy's house. I've been created to feast at His table. I've been created, Estella, no? I've been created to live like a son and not like a slave. That is my birthright. But it's not going to fall out of the sky. I'm not going to be whacked over the head with it. I've got to decide in my heart, I want this. And still today, Jesus stands the doors of our hearts and He knocks. He's not going to bash down the door. He's not going to say, okay, you will now wake up completely changed and completely transformed and blink of an eye. He says, no, He's giving us an invitation. Walk this journey with me. And so I'm sure that many of you guys drove this year. You set some goals and you went for it. But I realized as we sort of slowing down towards the end of the year, that there is also another aspect to that the Lord is holding me for us. And that is the fact that sometimes we do need to slow down. Sometimes we need to just go a little bit slower. We need to sort of take another look at what is going on in my life. What is the Lord busy doing? And so I'm going to speak about that this morning. I want to speak about taking another look or having another look. Maybe having a second glance. You know, it's interesting how many songs in Hollywood and how many movies are based upon this whole concept of love at first sight. But how that one look defines everything. You see the people looking at each other across the room on the dance floor or on the sports field. The guy's maybe standing there and she's up in the stadium and he sees her and their eyes connect or whatever. There's this look that just redefines that person's entire life. That one look, love at first sight. But all of us who are busy doing life and not living in some Hollywood figment of our imagination know that that is not how love works. That is not how relationship works. That first look, that first glance is often the one where everything is perfect. And in friendships, you're just so amazed about how you just click and you share all the same passions and interests. In a romantic relationship, you're just so amazed that this person has been hand-grafted for you. Spoke to a chap yesterday who's so in love and he says, let me introduce you to my better half. You know, so you just feel she's a complete improvement on you on every level. And that's the first glance. That is the first look. Every relationship goes through that. Most relationships. So when you're young and like my little girls now, they just think that I can do anything. And they're shocked if I don't know something. They're shocked if they come to the realization that, you know, there's some things that I can't do. But thank you, Andries. And of course, that admission stays here. Doesn't leave this room. You know, in our relationship with our parents as we grow up, eventually you hit that teenage years and then you get to the place where you have sort of the second glance, the second look, where you see the weaknesses, you see the irritating habits, you see the things that really just like that somebody else's family. I've obviously been adopted. You know, I actually belong to a different family. I just like, this doesn't make sense to me. How can somebody this cool come out of something that uncool that it just doesn't make sense? And that happens in friendships, it happens in romantic relationships where you move from that first glance to the second glance. You see the weaknesses. And very often many of us stop there. We either walk out of the relationship because this is obviously not from God or this is obviously not meant to be, or we get stuck on the brokenness, we get stuck on the hurt, we get stuck on the things that shatter our reality. But I believe that God is more God of the third look. The third glance. He's wanting us to get to that place where we move through the infatuation and we move through the disappointments and we get to that place of honesty. We get to that place of transparency and we get to the place of trust where we're comfortable enough with each other. We love each other enough to accept each other as imperfect, broken people. But to love each other knowing that we have received that same love. And within that, there is safety. And very few of us in our relationships get to that place. If I look at some of my relationships, I realize that some of them are stuck on certain levels. And I believe that as we near the end of the year, it is important for us to slow down a little bit and to have a look at our relationships. So Ned brought the word this morning and she said that the Lord is wanting us to come back again and again until our relationships have been restored. Our relationship with Him and our relationship with each other. And I believe that as we're sort of slowing down in terms of our program as a congregation, I want to encourage you. Don't lose sight of the moment. Don't already be one foot on the beach and one foot in Joburg. Be in the moment. There's still stuff. There's still stuff the Lord is wanting to do. Some of us have got a word, like we heard this morning, that we got at the beginning of the year. This is your year of rest. This is your year of freedom. This is your year of fearlessness. This is your year of transparency or brokenness or whatever. And the year isn't over yet, people. The year isn't over yet. About 50 days left. What are you going to do with those days? What are you going to do with those days? Is God going to be the great I am? The one who's in the present, in the now, busy working? Or is He for you the one that's going to give you the holiday or going to give you the break or going to give you the raise and you miss the opportunities in between? Like I said, Hollywood has built a whole industry out of looks. You know, I was in Woolies the other day, and obviously they position everything strategically towards the end. As you get to the tills, all the sweets are there, and parents going there, you know, it's a nightmare. Now they know you're stuck there, you're stuck in the queue, and so the kids are there, and they're wanting all sorts of stuff. Then we've got the different magazines, and I saw in this one magazine that this one chap from either Days of Our Lives or Bold or Beautiful or whatever is retiring after 30 or 40 years. I think he's retiring from it soapy, in which he was married 4, 5, 6, I don't know how many times. The dark haired guy. Don't make us if you don't know. Come on now. Ridge. Yes, Ridge. He's been married to, I think, his father's wife, and then he's been married to his own wife, who became his father's wife at one stage as well. Just an old thing. But there's the look, you know. There's always in the disappointed look, the shocked look, the I'm going to wait for you to say something profound look. And I went through some of my photographs the other day, and I came across this tendency in my photographs of this look. You know, the Steve Austin, Man of Steel look, Man van Staal. How many of you guys saw that in the 80s? It was about this bionic man that he was in this plane crash or something, and then his entire body was rebuilt, and he got these supernatural powers. Amongst others, he had this incredible line of sight. He could see things far. He had this magnifying vision, and he would stand, and he would look. And so I went through my photographs, and I saw... Because the idea was that if you could squint like Steve Austin, you'd be able to see far. And he didn't just have bionic vision, he had speed as well. But the way they did it was he would go like this. And he would fight like this. Everything slow motion, but the idea was the slower he went, the faster he went actually. They slowed the thing down. And so all our fighting scenes at home would be like slow motion. Until one guy obviously just said, I had enough of the slow motion. And he would go. We'd lose a few teeth in the process. But Hollywood has got this look thing they've got down. And I don't know if anybody else has got this look down better. And those of you guys who are children of the 90s, started watching movies in the 90s, you probably won't remember him. But Steven Seagal. Brilliant. He was the guy that he mastered every emotion, every look. He had a whole range of expressions. It was incredible. Just look at this. Years and years of practice. Confused look, intensity there. The bored look, what a shift in expression. Sarcastic look, the regretful one. He just had it down to a T. Don't forget the ponytail with the gel and never being hit in any one of the action sequences. I suspect that sometimes some of us are frozen a bit, but a little bit like Stephen, in our journey with God. And that we come with masks, a little bit like Stephen. The acting look, the action hero look, because you've got to be the action hero. You've got to have all the answers. You've got to have all the moves down. And you're never being hit. You never bleed. You always have the funniest thing to say at the right moment. You keep on breaking fingers, as Steven Seagal did. But I believe the Lord is wanting us to sort of have another look. Not the look of pretense, not the look of forcing things. But another look, a look that comes from an experience in His presence. And so I want to read for you a story. I'm not going to remain there very long. But it comes from the life of Moses. And it's Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verse 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. It's an amazing story how he ended up there. He was prince of Egypt. He was raised in the palace amongst the Egyptians, had a great destiny and future upon his life. And then, obviously, most of us know the story. He discovered that he was actually a Jewish boy. And so that frustration boiled over. He saw some injustice being committed. The Egyptians really oppressing the Israel's slaves. And so he murdered one of the Egyptian guards in an attempt to sort of take things into his own hands. He escaped, he ran away, and he ends up in the desert. And this is about 40 years later after that moment of disappointment. And it says that he kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Like he's being faithful, he's just doing what the Lord has called him to do, what his hand finds to do. The priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. I'm going to extrapolate this a little bit to our lives. I believe that some of you are like Moses. Okay, you are just doing what your hand finds to do. You are just doing your job to the best of your ability, like Moses did. He was looking after his father-in-law's sheep. He wasn't after building his own kingdom, getting his own flock. He was simply just doing what he was asked to do. Look after the sheep. It wasn't even his own sheep, it was his father-in-law's sheep. Okay? But he was faithful in that. And then it says he was looking after that sheep at the backside of the desert, the back end of the desert. We're sort of the back end of this year, sort of the latter part of this year. And many of us feel that I've lost the best part of the year. The dreams that I had at the beginning of the year, I had the best opportunity when I was still excited and fired up to accomplish those dreams. Now I am at the backside of 2013. And maybe I've lost some opportunities, and maybe there were some things that I did that I shouldn't have done, or some things I should have done that I didn't do. And you feel a little bit like I'm at the back end of God's promises. But there's something beautiful about this. It says that he came to the mountain of the Lord, even to Horeb. You are in the presence of the Lord this morning. Scripture says in the New Testament that we don't come to a mountain that can be physically touched by human hands. We've come to the New Jerusalem. We've come to an invitation that the Lord has given us to have access into his presence at any time. You've got a mountain traveling with you all the time. Whether you're driving through the Karoo or the Free State, we don't see too many mountains. Or in Pretoria, where I lived, and people call it Mahali's built the mountain. Or whether you're in Cape Town or in Natal, in the roaming hills and mountains there, there is a mountain of the Lord's presence traveling with you wherever you go. And you have come to that mountain this morning. You have come to that meeting place with the presence of the Lord. There is, however, a key in what you experience at that mountain. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. I find this amazing. There's this little sentence put in the middle of that sentence, verse 4. It says, when the Lord saw that he, it was Moses, turned aside from looking after the sheep. Turned aside from maybe thinking about his regrets. Turned aside maybe from thinking about the future. Thinking about his kids or thinking about his wife or thinking about all the stuff that he has to do. When he turned aside, then God called unto him. Which leaves me with the question, what would have happened had he not turned aside? What would have happened had Moses not stopped? Because it says he saw the bush burning, and then he decided, I'm going to investigate. I'm going to look at this. I will now turn aside. I will deviate. I will slow down. I will investigate. I will become still, as Scripture says. And I will see, why is this bush not burned? And I have in my heart just the knowing that for so many of us, there are burning bushes all around us. There are fingerprints of God, so to speak. Things that are just a little bit out of the ordinary. But you could miss it. Bushes burning in the Middle Eastern sun wasn't that uncommon. Spontaneous combustion. We had that in Upington and in Stellenbosch. It happens all the time, very often. Things just start burning because of the heat. It's so dry, it starts burning. So things are starting to burn spontaneously. That wasn't the weird thing. The weird thing was that this bush wasn't being consumed. And he would not have noticed that had he not stopped to look at it. Are you stopping long enough to have a look at what is God doing in your life? So we heard it this morning. What is he saying? What has he dropped into your spirit? It says when he stopped, the Lord saw it, turned aside, saw that he turned aside. The Lord called unto him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. I love what the Message translation says. It says, Moses says, what's going on here? I can't believe this. This is amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up? Have you had an experience this year, maybe in your life? You're like, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. This doesn't equate. The maths don't add up. What's going on here? What do you do in that moment? I know that so many of us often, I've got that experience. I've got this, what's going on in my head going off, but then I'm driving like a maniac. It's where I need to be going. I had that experience yesterday. We live close to Albert Farm, which is the back of Northcliffe. And normally I have to drive past that farm to get to church. And so sometimes I drive a little bit fast. But yesterday, what I would normally notice would be people baptizing there in the mornings, Sunday mornings. And I would notice some rubble lying around. And I'm just like, no, I don't go there. I just don't want to. There's nothing attractive about that place at all. And so yesterday I was on my way to go and visit somebody. And we had to make alternative plans. And so the girls were with me in the car. And they said, Dad, we want to go and see the ducks. I'm like, I didn't even know there were ducks there. They saw the little duckies. And so we went there and they said, no, but they want to feed the ducks. So now we're going to go to the store and buy some bread and come back. And I'm already thinking about the rugby. You know, I'm there. I'm making my plans. And they forced me to turn aside and have another look at this place. So I got there and I discovered that this is apparently the only artesian well in the whole of Gauteng. Freshwater well in the whole of Gauteng. There's a little place tucked away that I'm speeding past every day. It's got fresh water. I just saw the little dam there and I thought, oh, that's stinking water. But out of this rock comes this beautiful, fresh, apparently, haven't tasted it, clean, clear water. So I was amazed by it. I discovered there's swings there, there's beautiful grass there. On the other side, it's quite clean. I discovered there's a little duck there, breeding. She's got some eggs. The kids were fascinated by it. And above all, I discovered a family there. I met a Kenyan family, a husband and his wife, and their two little daughters who were picnicking there. And we had an amazing time. I discovered beauty in this place that I thought was just at best ordinary, at worst pretty off. I would never have discovered it unless I'd slowed down. Unless I'd stopped and I investigated. And I'm wondering, who are we speeding by in our lives and on our way to the end of the year, or just wanting to get rid of our disappointments and wanting to get rid of our failures and wanting to get rid of the things we should have done? Who are we speeding by? What are we missing out on? Kids is a blessing in that sense. They slow us down. But I believe the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit this morning. It's a very strong word that came through over and over this morning. Slow down. Look at what I'm doing. Have another look. And so I want to just hold before you 1 John 4. I'm just going to read a few verses for us. I'm going to ask you to open up your heart for the Holy Spirit to show you what is the look that you need to embrace for the rest of the year. What is the look that He still has for you? The look that He still wants you to maybe grow into, or the look that He's wanting you to just become comfortable with. What is the old face? There was years ago a movie called Face Off. I don't know how many of you saw it. I'm going to take your face off. Nicolas Cage said to one of the other guys, but Simon, we need to take our face off. The face that we've been walking around with for so long, that other people are used to so much. We need to take it off and we need to put on the new face that God has for us. And 1 John 4 verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent us His only begotten Son. Send Him into the world that we might live through Him. And the first look that I believe that if Jesus would do acting classes with Steven Seagal, He would say to him, the first look you need is the look of love. The first look, the glasses that you need to have on as you look at your entire life is to have the look of love, is to know that love is central and love is key to all of our experiences. It says, in this was the love of God manifested toward us. That not only is love central to who God is, it is also what God manifests. He manifested His love toward us. There's some of us that our faces are frozen simply in the expectation of God's love. We have not walked into the place of His manifest love. We haven't walked into that place where we've actually stood in awe like a little kid. And like, got a picture from Jono the other day. A friend of ours went down and blessed him with like, just like the toys of his dreams. And he's there, like, send me a picture. He's looking at these things. Like Lauren said this morning, like your heart is overwhelmed. Why? Because his goodness manifested towards you. If you haven't been dumbstruck and awestruck by God, I'm going to hold before you that you probably need an encounter with him. You probably haven't had an encounter with God yet, the King of the universe. And the first and the most important place where God manifests his love, he's not just intentional about love, doesn't just think about it. He manifested it, was on the cross. And some of us need to come back to the cross this morning. And we need to come and lay down our old faces. Faces of anger and bitterness and just question. We need to come and lay that down and say, God, I'm going to come and make a peace with the first place and the most important place where you manifested your love towards me. And that's the foot of the cross. I'm going to come back to that. God manifested his love toward us. I read something interesting yesterday where Andy Stanley says that we are defined to a very large extent, not so much by our intentions, but by our actions. And the gap between our intentions and our actions leave us very often with lots of frustration. You know what? God doesn't have the conflict. God doesn't have the conflict between his intentions and his actions. His actions flow out of his intentions. His intentions motivate his actions. And his intention towards us is love. And so his actions flow out of that. My challenge to us this morning, for those of us who have to take on the look of love, is twofold. The one is, come back to the cross. If your mask or your face has become calculated and reserved and withdrawn, come back to the place where you again gain an expectation that God wants to manifest his love towards you. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to cajole him. You don't have to manipulate him. You don't have to strive for it. He wants to manifest his love towards you. At the same time, the other part of the challenge is this. Have you made an intention earlier in the year concerning love that you haven't fulfilled yet? Is there a bit of a gap between your intention and the follow through? And I can say to you, try harder and make sure that you do it towards the end of the year before the year is over. But I'd be lying to you, because if you could, you would have. You need to come and receive from Jesus his power to narrow that gap. It's only he that can do it. To narrow the gap between what you've intentioned in your heart and what you need to fulfill. And I'm going to pray with some of you at the end that the Lord will enable you to do that. The second look, I believe, is the look of reflection. John says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the covering for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. There's so much in these verses. I can't get into all of it. All I want to say is that when God comes to us like he did this morning, and he speaks to us about our relationships like he did over the last few weeks, and he says, I want you to love one another. He knows we can't do it in our own strength. He knows that. The face, the look that you need to wear when it comes to love towards people around you is simply the look of reflection. It's that look of where you stand in the sun and you reflect the rays of the sun. It's just so obvious when people are in love, you see it. It just changes something about them. Shall I look that way? Yes, I shall. It's amazing to see what happens when you spend time in the company of someone that you love. We all know what happens when you spend time in the company of the sun. You eventually begin to radiate. Years ago, I traveled from Beaufort West down to Stellenbosch, the back of a bucky. And I was just so blessed by the cool breeze that was blowing as I was traveling down. I forgot that just because the breeze is blowing, because the car is driving, doesn't mean the sun has stopped shining. And so when I got home in Stellenbosch about 4 or 5 hours, for the rest, the next 2 or 3 weeks or so, my legs were radiating. I was walking like this, bathing in tea leaves and all sorts of stuff just to calm down the radiation. What is it? That is the look of reflection. My body doesn't have a choice. It just has to reflect the rays of the sun. When you spend time in the presence of God, some of you trying so hard to love the people, you're trying so hard to be better and be different. You're doing that without the sun. You've got all the sunblock on of your effort, all the sunblock on of just the hurts and the stuff blocking the rays. Get into the presence of God. As you're in His presence, you will automatically start wearing the look of reflection. The only reason we love, the only reason we love the way that God loves is because He first loved us. How's your reflection this morning? How's your reflection? Was your sunblock SP 40 or 60? 1 John 4:13 says, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in Him and God in Him." I love this verse 16. It says, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us." It's like Paul saying, "I am fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded. I don't question it. I don't doubt it. I am fully persuaded." Some of us need to come this morning. We need to trust the Lord for that look of trust. That look of knowing. Knowing that He loves me. And it's not something that I can convince you of. It is something of the Spirit of God. Verse 13 says, "He has given us of His Spirit." Oh, some of you need to sharpen up your relationship with the Holy Spirit over the next few weeks, days, hours. Because you're trying to do this God thing without the Holy Spirit, and it's not going to work. The only one that knows the heart of God is the Spirit of God. The only one that can tell you the secrets of God is the Spirit of God. The only one that can tell you how God feels about you and everything inside of you militates against it is the Spirit of God. And you need to come and you need to say, some of you need to come like Kun did and say, "I'm not going to be satisfied with a relationship with you on my terms, God. I'm going to ask you to baptize me in your Spirit." That means I lose myself in you. Like last week, we had the baptism. Katie fell into the swimming pool. Fortunately, I think Robert was there. Very close. And got up out of the water. And afterwards, she told me, "Papa, ek is gedoop." I was baptized. She knew baptismo onderdompeling. It's an Afrikaans word. It's onderdompeling. What does it mean? It means that you lose yourself in the Spirit of God. You give Him a blank check and you say, "Spirit of God, you come and move. You come and do through me, in me, upon me, whatever you want to do." It doesn't mean you have to let go of the mask of calculation, the mask of being in control, the mask of having all the answers. Because when the Spirit starts moving, the answers are there still, but they are His answers and not our answers. If the Spirit of God didn't move in Tanya's life and speak to her specifically as an attorney and say to her, "I need you to stick it out. Two families at least, probably would not have had an encounter with God that they did. Surrender. You know what? The moment of surrender doesn't come easily very often. I've made an interesting discovery with my kids. I've discovered that they, as amazing as we are, they have not been born saved. I've discovered there's some selfishness there. And so we're in the process now of encouraging them to let go, to share, to open up and to let go. The Spirit of God is wanting to bring us to that point. Letting go. And sometimes with our kids, we encourage them to let go by some encouragement, you know, the fivefold ministry, ministering to them, and cleansing and all of those things taking place. Teaching them. But there's nothing more precious than, like yesterday, we go to this farm, this place, and the kids are there. And my little girl starts sharing their chippies. For you, it's like, "Oh, just knickknacks." No! It represents her entire identity. It's hers. The mine. Mine. It's huge. In the unredeemed psyche. What is the knickknacks you're holding on to? Knickknacks of your hurt, knickknacks of your dreams, the knickknacks of this is the way that I've been raised, this is the way that my parents taught me, or this is the vow that I've made. I will never, ever, ever let go of those knickknacks. Give it away. So the Holy Spirit can come and he can share his heart with you. The look of trust. The second last one is the look of fearlessness. 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Fearlessness. And some of us hear this morning, and the Lord has a very specific word for you. To say to you, fear is not your portion. Fear is not the mask that you have to wear. The look of fear, he's going to replace it this morning. He's going to strip it away from you. And he's going to replace it. The fearlessness. The knowledge. Nothing can separate you. You don't have to fear judgment. Not in this world, not in the next. If you're in Christ. Outside of Christ, you need to fear it. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible place. But with Christ, the Lord promises us, it says there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I had to come to the Lord the last little while and say, God, there are areas in my life where I fear certain things. All that means is I haven't appropriated your love to the full extent in that area of my life yet. And I'm opening myself up again for you to come and pour your love into my heart. In a specific area of my life. Some of you need to be specific. Right now you're all vague in your head. And I'm going to trust the Lord to show you. Be very specific. Because there's a specific thing that the Lord is wanting to settle in your heart this morning. 1 John 4 verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And this is the look of honesty. To say that, God, if you are speaking to us about loving our brothers and loving each other, we thank you for how we've grown. We thank you for the amazing sense of fellowship that we are experiencing in church. We thank you for the increase in vulnerability and transparency and getting into each other's lives. And yet at the same time, we acknowledge that you are the standard. Not our family backgrounds, not the church down the road. You are the standard. And so if you are speaking to us about loving each other, brotherly love, then we also acknowledge that there is growth. There is room for growth for us. And so I want to again encourage us. We've been sitting down with been doing our planning for next year. Incredible things, Lord, is just confirmed that he wants to do for next year. But you know, all of those things is going to mean very little if we're not rooted and saturated in love. If we don't have in our hearts the hunger and the thirst to say to God, God, whatever you've done in our lives, we thank you for it. But we want more of your presence. We want more of your touch. We want people to know that they know that they know that you are in the house. That you are doing the loving through us. I said to God, God, I've had enough of my own efforts. I've had enough of my own good personality and my own niceness. And I want your love to manifest. I want your love to break the yokes. I want your love to make people feel at ease around us. I want your love because only your love that can do it. And so this is a prayer that I've been praying to the Lord often. And saying, God, come and just impart your love into my heart. And that means that, guys, we've got to be honest and say, Lord, we fall short, but we thank you for the provision that you've made. The last one there is the look of victory. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Some of you this morning need to come, and I believe it's about 20 of you guys. You need to literally put on the look of victory. You need to come and say, God, I'm going to walk away from my victim spirit. I'm going to walk away from my regret of this year. I'm going to walk away from feeling I've lost so much. I'm going to take upon myself the look of victory that you have given me. Is that your look? Has that look been designed for you? Has that face, so to speak, been tailor-made for your profile, for your character, for your personality, for your life. Don't think, oh, the look of victory, that belongs to Johnny, or that belongs to Sally, or to Heinrich, or to whoever else. No, no. You. Your face has designed for it a look of victory. Why? Because it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And I'm looking at lots of people here having been born of God. Amen? You have been born of the Spirit of God. You have been renewed, recreated in the image of God. You've had an experience with the Lord where He changed your life. You stepped out of darkness into light. You once were dead, now you're alive. You surrendered your life to Jesus. And if that is you, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, then the spirit of being a victim, feeling like a victim, it's not your portion. It's not your portion. The look of victory is your portion. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. God has placed the capacity inside of you to relate and to respond to God. Some of you need to be bold. Say, God, it's next month, month and a half, I'm trusting the Lord to restore what the locusts have stolen from me this year. I'm trusting you. This year is not going to peter out. It's not going to just dissipate in a little squelch. I'm not just going to wait. Some people wait for the rapture. Some wait for a holiday. No. You've given me the look of faith. Victory. Psalm 73 verse 25 says this, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He's your inheritance. We visited a family yesterday, Nikki and I, we drove back and we said, that is so awesome. The physical legacy that they have received. Having received this plot of land from his dad and then the house from her dad and just being so blessed to be able to walk in that legacy, that inheritance. And I realized, we've got a legacy. Some of you guys, you've got to go. You've been blessed physically. You've been blessed by mom and dad and grandparents who left behind physical things for you. And you're disdaining it. You don't even want it. You are ungrateful. And you need to repent this morning. You need to say, God, forgive me my shallowness and my arrogance. I'm going to honor my mother and my father. They're not perfect. They maybe don't know you or serve you the way that I do. But I was able to do X, Y, Z because of them. Some of us here, we've received incredible legacies in the natural. And you've got to honor your parents for it. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to go and say, Dad, Mom, thank you for sacrificing. And I know in my heart I would have wanted you home more than what you were. If I could choose over, I would rather want you than the car that you gave me when I went to varsity. But you need to go and you've got to thank your dad for that car. You've got to thank him for that apartment. You've got to thank him for that furniture. You've got to humble yourself and cultivate the spirit of thankfulness. Now, some of us here, and you feel you've been robbed. You don't have a legacy. I'm going to say to you that God says, I am your legacy. I am your portion. I am your inheritance. And Jesus, I just realized that yesterday again when I drove away from that physical legacy. I realized that the spiritual one is even more concrete. There's everlasting value. Jesus made it available to each and every one of us. He is your portion. Don't limit yourself. He is your portion. Can we close our eyes? I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord Jesus, that you have come and that you have spoken into our hearts, Lord, even from the beginning of the service. Lord, encouraging us just to slow down. And we thank you for this moment, Lord, that we can come and sort of just have another look at you, Lord. And as we have another look at you, we come and we take upon us, Lord God, the look that you have designed for us. That look that is not angeplucked, it's not contrived, Lord, but it comes from the inside. The look of love that realizes and knows, Lord, that you are a good God. And we can look at life and all our experiences through the eyes of your goodness. That we can come and we can take upon ourselves the look of reflection this morning. To say to you, Lord, we know that the only reason why we can love other people The only reason, Lord God, why we can reach out to others is simply that we remain in your presence. And so we take the look and the mask of our striving off. And we put on, Lord God, the look of reflecting your glory, reflecting your love. Thank you for loving us first. We come to you this morning, Lord, and we take off the look of mistrust, the look of suspicion towards you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will give us and teach us, Lord, to wear the look of trust upon our faces. The look, Lord God, of not just hoping that you love us, but of knowing and believing that you love us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will do that supernaturally for us this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning we can lay aside the look of anxiety, the look of fearing lack, disappointment, and we can take upon ourselves the look of fearlessness, God, knowing that there is nothing in all of eternity that can separate us from your love. We also come, God, with humility before you. And we lay aside the look of pretense. Some of us have been trained so well our entire lives. We've been in these movie classes of life, pretending to be strong, pretending to have the answers. And meanwhile, back home, we fall apart. But thank you that we are home this morning. We are home in your presence. And that we can take upon ourselves the look of fearlessness that comes from knowing that you are busy perfecting your love in our lives. And Father, thank you this morning for the look of victory. Thank you this morning, Lord God, that you have not given us the look of slavery. You have not given us the worn down, worn out, tired of life look to wear as our portion. That is not your portion for us. Lord, you say that in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. So we thank you, Lord, for the baptism in your Holy Spirit, the baptism of joy, the baptism, Lord God, of strength to carry us into this year, Father God, the rest of this year to get the most out of it, to have our eyes circumcised and open to see what you're holding before us. And thank you, Lord, for the look of hope, for our hearts to cry out, God, whom do we have in heaven but you? Whom do we have on earth besides you? There's no one like you. You are our portion. You are our portion. Thank you that the look of bitterness, Lord God, and regret gets replaced by the look of hope, the look of knowing that you have stored up for us. The heavens are filled to the brim with the spiritual blessings that you have in store for us this morning.